Court Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble. Yeah! Yeah!
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Evo.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA. I'm the Bagman. You might notice that you're not hearing the dulcet tones of Wesley. He's probably killed himself because Phoenix are currently 21 games below 500. But as it's All-Star Weekend coming up this weekend, I think I should just give my buddy Rabbit a call and see what the fuck's going on.
Bagman.
What up?
Hey, bro.
What you doing?
Oh, just fucking hating life on my fantasy team.
What's going
on? Al Horford could get a goddamn rebound. I swear to God. Fucking, it's killing me, dude.
Dude, at least he doesn't have to have fucking knee surgery and he's out for 6 weeks. I got K-Love.
Yeah, I feel ya. I'd take K-Love for half a season over what Horford's giving me this season. Oh, cool. Three rebounds today. Oh, two rebounds. Three assists, 7 points, shooting 30% from the field. Thank you, Al Horford. You're a fantasy star. Anyway, sorry, bro. How you doing?
Oh, yeah, not that bad. But yeah, I'm killing it. It's Friday. Got fuck all to do. It's All-Star weekend.
Nice.
Are you
it
pumped?
It is All-Star weekend. Yeah, I am, actually. Last year, I missed the whole All-Star. I was overseas and with no internet. So I missed the dunk comp. I missed everything. And I came back to just my phone and email lighting up about it. So this, I'm all in this year. I'm going to watch every minute of it, I think. Maybe not the skills challenge. That shit's kind of gay.
Dude, it's going to be way better than the dunk comp. You missed a legendary dunk comp last year. It's not going to be the same thing. Like, who the fuck is Derek Jones Jr., whoever fucking scrubs they're getting to do the dunk comp this year?
That's a dude who has, like, only dunked once in an NBA game, and it was actually 3 days ago or something.
Yeah, twice, I think.
Wow.
Or three times if you include the warm-ups.
Well, he might blow us all away and win the thing. That'd be cool.
Yep. I love getting blown away. I'm ready for that. So, what do you think is going to happen when Westbrook and Durant, that whole thing, Steve Kerr, like, I always, like, imagine what's going to happen. I imagine, like, walking into a room and there's just going to be, like, a posse of Warriors there waiting for him. Like, and I just want to know exactly how that whole transaction is going to go down.
Yeah, it's so intriguing, isn't it? It really depends on how Kerr plays it, I think. You know, he doesn't shy away from this kind of stuff normally. So I could imagine him doing it, you know, because it's what everyone wants to see. And it's a good test for his players, I think, as well, see how they handle it. But at the same time, he loves having a good time and keeping shit light. So you might not even see it, man. I don't think you'll see four Warriors in Westbrook, but there'll certainly be times where, say, KD and Westbrook are on the floor together. And, you know, I wonder if they freeze Westbrook out and, you know, AKA Jordan Isaiah, you know, back in the 90s. It could well maybe, but I think they're kind of above that.
But don't you think, like, I'm like, I want to see what happens, like, the instant they're in the same room together. Because, like, how do you come back from that last game where they're all wearing a cupcake shirt?
I'm coming for you, bro.
Yeah.
Coming for you. Yeah. Cool. You're down 20. Cool. That's very true, man. I would love to be a fly on the wall in the change room. That'd be sick. Unless Westbrook's got, like, you know, he just sort of ponies up with a couple of other homies and sort of stays on that side of the change room and the other boys are all... That would probably happen, right? Like, if you're Warriors guys, you probably stay over on one side and Westbrook's going to jump on board with, like, hang out with Harden, his bro from way back. You know, he'll probably chill over there with him and, you know, I don't know what Gasol's going to be doing, but, you know...
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. It'll be intriguing.
I was wondering who he'd bro out with. I didn't think about the Harden connection. You'll have that going on. I was thinking, like, you'd probably bro out with Kawhi because he would just be bitching to Kawhi about shit and Kawhi would just be staring at a wall going, like, yeah, yeah. Dude, whatever. I don't
Kawhi doesn't talk.
Yeah, exactly. Statue of Kawhi.
What do you think? Do you think Westbrook kind of... For me, Westbrook kind of... The whole Westbrook luster has worn off a little bit. The shine after the whole OKC performance. I think the Warriors, not being a homer or anything, but if the Warriors kind of came out shiny after that whole thing. You know, obviously they smoked them, but Durant played well. They sort of carried themselves well and they kind of had a little bit of a fuck you at the end of it with the cupcake and everything, the cupcake tease.
Yeah.
I don't see the Warriors came, like, there's not really, can't really put anything on them for the way that all went down. What do you think?
Yeah, I reckon the ball has overshadowed the rest of it now, because it's happened three times and OKC have got smoked three times. So it's totally validating KD's decision. Yeah, it's just super duper clear they're not on the same level. Like, I remember at the start of the season, we were all saying that, you know, like, oh, the bottom half of the West, like, no one's going to want to play OKC in the first round. I'm like, well, the Warriors are going to want to play OKC in the first round. They got their number. Yeah. They got their number hard. So I don't think any of that shit, it's all just galvanizing for the Warriors now. And it makes sort of Westbrook look like a bit of a dick when, even though everyone loves that shit with Westbrook, he's down 18 and he's yelling at Durant. Like, everyone loves it, but it does make him look like, you know, it validates everything KD said about wanting to leave that situation.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if they didn't keep amping it up so much, like, granted, it was the first time he was back in OKC, but if they were kind of like, if Russ didn't pour fire on it, if he was just like kind of chilled and went, me and KD are cool, you know, it's just basketball, you know, I he's a great player and, you know, it's going to be good to see him. Bang, it's diffused, you know. If he doesn't blow up, you know, and Kanter gets his mitts in there and it's after a timeout and it just looks like a little bit for show, and it also looks super bitter that he's like, I'm coming for you. And it's like, Durant's like, you're down 20. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, like, it just seemed a little bit too much now. But, you know, they have every right to be pissed off. Like, look how well Durant's doing now. He's like, he's not even looking back, you know. But I believe he was pretty humble. He was signing autographs and he was pretty cool with everyone there. He got rinsed on trying to get his favorite restaurant, though. Did you hear about that?
No.
Some guy who owns Durant's favorite restaurant in OKC was like, he wanted to bring his crew there afterwards, and it was like 50 grand or something. He turned it down. He's like, no, don't like you. Hate you. Hey, KD. No, you're not welcome here. It's pretty brutal.
See, I reckon that's retarded. The whole, even like the booing thing as well, like, get over it. It's sort of sad. Like, you see guys like, I don't know what's a good example, but say, you know how when a player comes back and they've been like Paul Pierce, for example, they'll show like highlight videos of Paul Pierce at halftime going, how epic was it when Paul Pierce did this for the team? And KD just like didn't get a sniff at that. And he's,
no, that's, you know, they, that's well overdue. That's not going to happen for years.
Oh, but if they never draft him, you know, they might not even be a team anymore.
Yeah.
You know, if they drafted Greg Oden, they might not be a team anymore. Like, he built that team. It's pretty hectic. It's pretty fucked that people can't just get over their blind hatred. And why? Because, like, he didn't call Westbrook before. Like, it's a bit of a dick move, but it's not worth, like, a whole city feeling like that he owes them something. I think it's fucking ridiculous.
Well, Ibaka's probably going to get a standing ovation if he comes back to town, if he hasn't already.
Because he like, begged for a trade to get out of there.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Unbelievable. But, yeah. Sticking on the All-Star theme, what did you think about Melo getting a start with K-Love going down?
Hated it. He doesn't deserve to be an All-Star. He shouldn't be there. You know, I would have been gladly have seen a lot of players jump over him. He, like, I get why Silver did it, but I don't agree with it. Fair, you know, like Bradley Beal, no brainer. Way he's been playing.
That's your number one choice.
I didn't jump on Embiid. I didn't rate that. I didn't think that was cool. I'm okay with Melo down the line a little bit. I'm just trying to think of anyone else who's like a, you know, like a major snub other than Beal in this situation.
Yeah.
Who would you rather?
Who was everyone talking about? Who else?
Yeah.
Could you...
Well, there was a lot of MB talk. There was Zaza talk, but obviously he's in the West.
Yeah.
I'm not sure in the East who else would sort of. I'm not sure. Do you have anyone spring to mind other than?
Not really. Like
Bradley Beal.
Who are you looking at? Like, maybe if Jabari was healthy, he might have got a little sniff.
Yeah.
That's a massive stretch, though.
Yeah.
Dwighty?
Oh, no.
Paul Millsap? Drummond, maybe?
No, I would take Millsap over Carmelo. I think he's had a... But see, the tricky thing is, last 2 weeks, Melo's actually been pretty good.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got hindsight looking at it. But I would have taken Millsap and Beal over Carmelo.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I like Beal. I'm vibing this Wizards renaissance. That
Renaissance, yeah.
Yeah, the game between Cleveland and Washington was legit my favorite game of the year. So crazy. Washington,
it was incredible.
If Washington can play like that in like 4 out of 7 games against a good team, they're going to do some fucking damage.
Yeah, I don't know if they can though.
No.
You know, it might be a little bit of like just jumping on sort of a bandwagon, but it's great to see them being where they should be after like last season's gross mediocrity. You know, I think this is better. Like, they're third now in the East.
Yeah,
they're above Toronto. They've jumped Toronto. Toronto have kind of fallen off the cliff a little bit. It's not that bad. There's like only probably like, what, 2.5 games between third and fifth at the moment, which is pretty good. And you got Indiana, Atlanta, fifth and sixth. So, I mean, what a battle for that sort of second, third, fourth spot now. It's fucking great.
It's awesome.
And Cleveland, man. Like, Cleveland, if they're not careful and they decide, like, well, if they are careful, they should drop LeBron's minutes and go, fuck it, we'll just finish third or fourth, you know, if we lose some games. Because right now, Boston are three games behind flat. So, man, that one seed's still kind of there for some of these hungry teams if they want, like, home court. And that could be, could that be beneficial against Cleveland? Like, you would argue so, but then Cleveland can win against anyone on the road in the East, I think.
Yeah, well, the popular consensus is that Cleveland shouldn't be worried about playing an away series with anyone, which is probably true. But I'm sure, like, when you're in the thick of it, that you would be worried, especially if, like, K-Love's going to be a bit rusty coming back. They don't have a lot of synergy. JR, don't know what's going to happen there. But it is. It's awesome that it felt like it was a bit of a two-horse race in the early parts of the season in the East, and now the second round's going to be super interesting. No matter which way you shake it out, I think it's going to be good.
I think that Boston is fool's gold at the moment. Again,
what?
I like Washington. Yeah, I like Washington. I don't think Isaiah Thomas will be able to do what he's doing in the playoffs. I think it's going to be easy for teams to double team and force him to make other guys beat them. I think it's like predictable as fuck, and I don't think they have another scorer. I think they're going to come undone pretty hard. I think Washington can beat them. I think Toronto can beat them.
Yeah, but look at outside of Cleveland, if you're looking at Washington and Toronto, all of their power comes from their backcourt, and Boston defends guards better than just about anyone with Bradley and Marcus Smart.
What are you talking about? Ibaka just go up to the Toronto. He's the missing link. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot, actually. A lot of people were pretty subdued about it, but I'm super into it. Because you know what he can do when he doesn't have to do a whole lot. He's super overqualified. Well, he's properly qualified as a third banana. He's a good third banana.
Yeah. Yep. I wonder if the Valanciunas thing, pairing those two together, can work. It seems to work on paper. Whether or not Valanciunas actually can feel better about someone on D now with him, so he can take the offense and, you know, kind of be a force inside. Ibaka's a good stretch guy. He can spread the floor. You know, it looks good on paper. You know, Ibaka kind of compensates for Valanciunas' defensive liabilities. Like, it all looks good there, but I just don't know. Valanciunas has been super disappointing, like, the last season or two.
Yeah.
So, I like it. I like the fit, and I like that Toronto are having a crack and taking a swing for this year. It's really good. And that actually, like, while we're on the topic, it might actually force Boston to still do something. What, do they got a week or so to add?
Yeah.
You know, but they must be sitting there going, fuck, Toronto had a run. They're loading up. They're going for it. Should we be going for it? And they've got pieces to move. I just don't know who the guy is.
Like, they've been sitting on those pieces for like 2 years now.
Yeah.
You know, and they can't turn them into anything. And look what they got, a Barker for Terrence Ross in the 25th pick.
It's wild.
Like, wild. Boston could give away something of that caliber and not break a sweat.
Yeah.
So
get rid of Marcus Smart. Use him. He's valuable now. He's going to be worth. He's worth the most he's ever been worth. Do it now. Do it now. He's a good player. He's a good defensive player, but you can afford to get rid of him.
Oh, I wouldn't get him off Smart.
I would package him with someone, and you could turn, you know, Jarepko and Smart. That could get you something really good back. That could be like a scorer you need, a second scorer. Anyway, we're a little bit off topic. What were we talking about? Washington.
Yeah, something like that.
Bradley Beal or snub. That's where we were.
Yeah, segue. I love it.
All in on Bradley Beal.
Yeah, go Washington bonus for days. All about it, except for Trey Burke. See, that's the other that's the problem with Washington right there. No fucking bench.
No one.
Zero bench.
You didn't? Did you answer your own question? Who? If you were Adam Silver, who would you have taken?
Oh, Beal. I've got a massive heart on it for him after that Cleveland game. He's just raining triples. He's crushing.
You could actually say you have a massive heart on for Beal, and it wouldn't be gay because
he's a beautiful man.
Yeah. No. Well, no. What's the rig? The movie actress Biel. She's banging.
Oh, Jessica Biel.
There
yeah,
you go.
Fair enough. Either way, I don't discriminate. Yeah, I don't discriminate at all.
No, good for you.
Who do you like in the 3-point comp?
Oh yeah, well, no Curry obviously this year. Clay's there. I don't know. You know, like McCollum could be a dark horse. Hold on, let me get the odds here. I've got the odds. Clay is 11-10. Kyrie 4-1.
11-10.
Yeah, it's kind of like a. I don't even know what that means, to be honest. What else? Yeah, I'm gonna go with McCollum. There's Lowry's. Oh, Kyrie's there. Kyrie's my pick.
Good, because CJ is going to be my pick. Not just because I'm a homer, but also I feel like he's one of those guys that when his feet are set and his shoulders are squared up in gameplay, that it's almost like a guaranteed bucket. He takes so many tough ones and he still hits like 41%. I was just going to say that in like a rack situation, it should be the same shot over and over and over. I think it's going to suit him as opposed to like a, you know, like Kyle Lowry's like JJ Redick. It's a lot of legs and you're going to get really tired. And you've seen that with JJ like jumping over the line. And so I don't think it just translates well to a competition. But I think like CJ's actual stroke is going to translate well to the competition. And if he can get through round one, I think he'll take it out.
You know what else is like ammo for him as well, or motivation, is that he didn't obviously get picked for All-Star. So he could be sort of sitting there going, I should be an All-Star. Here, this is like me dropping like, you know, 25 out of 30. Like, you didn't vote for me, you'll remember next year, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that, but they all got that swagger and that kind of confidence. So that's another thing. But then I think Kyrie has just had such a elevation in his game the last like season and a half. And this is coming from me, who was like, don't rate Kyrie before the finals last year. I was like, I don't think he's got it. And so I've, had to eat humble pie with that. And I can't say enough good things about him this season. So it might be something for him to add to the mantelpiece. Does he have a 3-point? I don't think he's won a 3-point shootout before.
Yeah, he definitely has. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
when did he win that?
Must have been the year before like Curry 13? Won it. I think it was like Kevin Love and Kyrie ago, won it back to back. Yeah.
No way.
Not that long ago.
Oh, well, there you go.
Speaking of Kyrie, on a scale of Thunderstruck to Above the Rim, how fucked do you think the proposed Uncle Drew movie is going to be?
Oh, I'd like to have hope for it, because I think Kyrie's like brand is pretty strong and his style is pretty sick. But I think it seems to me these days that like America or Hollywood or producers just milk something to the shit. Like, you could have Uncle Drew as like just a really cool, you know, respectable underground YouTube sensation. Like, it was brilliant marketing. It's a cool concept. Just kind of leave it at that. Leave it with its pedigree. You know, maybe do another season, get someone else. But this, I would say like Thunderstruck was the worst possible option. This could got to be close. It's definitely closer to that than Above the Rim. Let's say a 3, as in closer to... Yes. Closer to Thunderstruck.
So like Blue Chips.
Blue Chips. Yeah, I'll go a little bit shitter than Blue Chips.
Yeah, that sounds fair. It's going to be fucked. Like,
it's going to be awful.
Imagine if they made a movie about Little Penny. That's what like it's going to be. This is an ad campaign. And there's going to be so much fucking Pepsi in it. There's going to be Pepsi all over the place.
Do you think he can come out of it looking fine? Like, it'll be awesome for him? Like, or do you think it'll be something he looks back on and goes like, oh, that was just the worst decision? He's getting paid.
Yeah, I think he'll think it's cool. And it should be a lot of basketball. It should be a lot of like NBA guys. And but how much would you want to watch that? Like, I get over it after the 4-minute extended YouTube video.
Do you define Trainwreck as a basketball movie?
No.
Okay. Okay, well, it's not in that realm then. We can't compare. What about, what was that other one? Didn't Cedric Sabolas, no, who was in that Love and Basketball? Remember that piece of shit?
Oh, I never watched it.
That was awful. And I think that's a basketball movie. Anyway, it's definitely going to be around there for sure.
Like the Basketball Diaries. That's not a basketball movie.
No, it's not a basketball movie. It's kind of a meth movie, isn't it?
Yeah, Gobbies though. Go Lego.
Yeah, true. Yep. Well, can I throw a few questions at you, dude?
Fuck yeah.
Mine aren't really all-star questions, so I just, you know, I need to talk to you. Like, I can't believe I didn't ask you that this before, but are you okay with Plumlee losing Plumlee this week?
What do you think? Of course not.
Well, I don't be so defensive. I just want to check in. I'm a concerned friend. You know, I know your love affair with the Plumlees, so I'm worried about you. So please, you know, tell me how you are.
It's all I have going for me this season. Yeah. Oh, God. Actually, you know, honestly, in the whole scheme of things, in terms of like the team, it's pretty good because he is off contract anyway. We paid all these centers, so I don't think you want to be paying Plumlee, or we probably wouldn't be able to afford to.
That seems like what's happening, that they're just getting him off the books pretty much and seeing what they throw it out there and seeing what we get back.
Yeah.
You know?
And we got Nurkic, who's, I think he's up for $2.9 million next year, still on his rookie deal, which is right. Great. And we got now we've got three first-round picks in what's meant to be a loaded draft, which is where, like, I feel like last year was a mirage, and it took, like, half of this year to realize that last year was a mirage, you know? Like, at the start of last year, I was thinking that the Blazers, that we'd be bottom of the West, like, dead last. And we, like, somehow crawled up into fifth, like, played out of our minds. Everything went amazingly well.
Yes.
And then, like, expectations were too skewed for this season. Like, going, yeah, everyone's going to get better. We got Evan Turner. It's going to be epic. All bases covered. Everyone's locked in. Another year, continuity, all that shit. We're going to rip. And the team's just not that good. Just lacking so much stuff. Like, Crabman's not that good.
No.
Myers Leonard's a fucking disaster. Need to get that off the book. That's positive, I suppose. I'm spewing because Plumlee is like the best big man on the roster, I reckon, easily.
Well, that's the thing. Do you think that, you know, obviously you pick up Nurkic. Is it just sort of like, would you have done it without the first round pick? You know, is Plumlee for Nurkic just fair? I don't think it's fair. I think Plumlee's more valuable than people are saying, or people are... I don't know, like that pick, what number pick is it, do you know?
It's Memphis's pick.
So that's going to be in the bottom half of the draft, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, bottom third probably, so like 20.
It's enough for a sweetener, I guess, but I feel like, you know, Nurkic is kind of just going to do, he's not going to do what Plumlee was doing, and it's just kind of a little bit of a, it's just not, it's not Plumlee, you know, and I feel like they're just downgrading. But it is, again, like just getting money off the books, and they get a first rounder. So it is probably something Portland look at and go, fuck, we can't turn this down.
Like on the court, it's definitely not as good, because now you're getting someone that you can dump the ball into in the post, but we don't really play like that. It's not really beneficial. Mm-hmm. Whereas like Plumlee was this nice release valve when they trapped the two guards, that you had more playmaking and you could sort of like put guys that can't really score for themselves in a position to get buckets. So that was good in that regard. But it'd be, yeah, I guess like the benefit is we should have like a poor man's Cantor, offensive rebound, someone who can like, you know, catch and finish and shit like that for $3 million. That's fine. But I reckon just like the whole direction of the team's probably more where it needs to be. Like, instead of being totally capped out and chock full of players, now I feel like we're on our way to maybe trying to move a few guys and then be, you know, able to like turn some of these like surplus pieces into something actually good. So like, you know, try and get Myers Leonard and maybe Crabman off the books or something like that. And honestly, like, I reckon I'd trade Damian Lillard over McCollum now. Hey,
whoa, dropping some fucking bombshells bag. That's massive. Lillard's your boy.
Yeah, I know, but prove me wrong.
Yeah.
You know, if you had to ditch one of them, I think CJ's a better shot maker.
But why do you have to ditch him? Why would you have to ditch anyone? Isn't these the pieces you pine for, you build for, you draft for? Yeah, now you're at a point where you have a pretty young team, you have a core, you start building. And, you know, I think last year was probably, like you said, like they shocked the world kind of thing. They weren't realistic. They were overachieving. Wouldn't you say that they kind of were realistically where they should have been last year, and now they're just maybe a year later and they have the pieces? I don't know. They're kind of in that awful place of mediocrity in the NBA, in the West, which is fucking, you know, not the greatest place to be. So, you know, you're in this place where you're like, we got to start building. Do we tank? Are the guys going to be cool tanking? Probably not. Now, you know, where do we, how do we move forward? Do we keep adding pieces? Are we a free agent destination? There's just so many ways this thing could fall. Like, you could turn around and get a really good piece next year, or they could turn around and go, or this season and go tank the rest of the way and maybe hope for a good draft pick again. But that doesn't really do that much for you, you know?
No. That's why
I just think it's an awful place to be right
now.
Oh,
yeah, dude. Especially like chasing the 8th seed in the West is probably the last place you want to be. There's a, at least there's, we're not alone, you know? There's a whole bunch of teams in that, in the same mix. But at the same time, like, that's why I think you got to turn either McCollum or Lillard into like an avenue into better balance, because we can't have all these like one-dimensional players or like one-way players that can't defend and be an offensive threat at the same time. So I think if you want to get further than we got last year, we need to turn one of those guys into something that's going to create more balance, like a power forward who can shoot and defend the rim. Barker. would have been nice, you know, like devastating. Sure. Devastating couldn't get someone like that. I feel like that he would be perfect. But
yeah,
you know, I'm turning around to the idea of like moving Lillard. If we get three good pieces in this draft and you know, we can turn Lillard into like another blue chipper, then all of a sudden I feel like we're in a much better spot looking like 3-4 years down the track, when McCollum's going to be in his like absolute prime.
I'm going to hold you to this bag. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Down the road, I'm holding you to this.
We never stay down for long, man. Like, we had the Brandon Roy fucked up and Greg Oden and all of that shit. And then we bounced back with the Batum, Wes Matthews, Marcus teams. Now, this one, I don't think we'll be down for too long. It's going to be sweet.
Being the muso that you are,
Is
James Doolan actually any good at guitar?
Not from what I've seen.
So if he's not any good, or even if he is good, I was hoping you'd say he was good, because then I could say, like, shouldn't he stick to that than running an abortion show at the Knicks for the last 2 decades?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, is he the problem?
Oh, dude, if he just stuck a flute in his pussy, I would say he is a better musician than he is an owner of an NBA team, for sure. For sure, give it up. But, like, what are you going to do? Like, clearly you got to get him out. And the only way to do it, from what we can gather, is to get like a racially ambivalent woman to go and spy on him and get him on tape saying something heinous.
The way all good men are undone, I would say.
Yeah, exactly. Surely he's to blame, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, the Oakley thing was just so embarrassing, and the way they handled everything. Like, we don't need to talk in depth about that stuff. You know, the Phil Jackson thing is the elephant in the room, but more so, Doolin just doesn't seem to give a fuck, and he doesn't seem to look back on his decisions and go, that wasn't the best decision for the organization. I think he just loves it. I think he loves being courtside. I think he loves the notoriety it brings him. And I just think he's like, I don't give a fuck. It's my team. I'll never sell. I don't think he would ever sell the Knicks. I don't.
Why would you?
Yeah.
Even if you were the biggest fucking douche.
Yeah, but like a guy like him and his personality, I think it's just strictly ego-driven. And, you know, there is no real incentive for him to go like, I want to get good. I want to make, you know, more money. I want to, you know, get good for the sake of New York, for the fans. I don't think any of that is relevant to him at all. And I think, I don't know how Silva and those guys, like, they probably took a small look at it and went, fuck, this guy's so bad for the NBA, but what are they going to do? What can they do? They can't do shit. Like, legally, they're fucked. They can't do anything. They obviously want a cleaner organization, you know, and a better run. And, you know, they want, obviously, a successful Knicks team is great for the NBA. Every time the Knicks are killing it, which has been so rare, everyone knows about it, and the NBA is buzzing when the Knicks are buzzing. But fuck, man, I don't know how they get rid of him.
Yeah. Well, I reckon it's all about, I reckon you bang on when it's the Jackson things, the elephant in the room, because, you know, you didn't really hear tons. Like, everyone knows he's like a fairly incompetent owner and shit like that. And there's a bunch of them in the league. But if your GM is the business, then, you know, all of that falls by the wayside, I reckon. And if the GM has everything humming and you're making good trades and you're looking after the guys you're meant to look after, then you shouldn't really hear about the owner unless they're really going out of their way to fucking make a big deal about something or doing dumb shit like this Oakley thing.
Oh, it was disgraceful, wasn't it?
But people were saying that Oakley's jersey should get retired now, which is just unbelievable. Like, how absurd, how embarrassing now would that be for Oakley to get his jersey retired because he had a few too many beers and tried to punch a few security guards in Madison Square Garden? Like, I don't understand that.
The whole incident to me is like, you know, I think they were onto him from the get-go. I think they had guys around him before he even knew about it. I think he took offense to the fact that there were guys just waiting for him to do something or say something. And as soon as he did, they were onto him more so than other fans or anyone else. I think I think Golan or someone there would have been like, Oakley's here. What the fuck is Oakley doing here? You know, get over there, get around him. I don't want anything going on. Get rid of him. You know, if he does one thing, get rid of him. And it was just like, he's on the ground and shit. And, you know, he's like, he looked like he was expecting it as well. That's why he's like, don't touch me. Don't fucking touch me. Like, you could see him saying that shit. And then the tweets and all the fallout from it. And then the fact that they brought, like, all the other ex-Knicks guys who weren't even that good, like Vin Baker and fucking Sprewell. Did you see Sprewell there the next game?
Yeah.
Or two games later? Do you hear about this?
Yeah, but why would they sign up for that, knowing that?
What? Why would they sign up? Why would the Knicks sign up for
why
that?
Why would Sprewell sign up to go and, like, sit next to Dolan like his fucking little lapdog, like, 2 days after?
Because he got paid. Because they would have said, like, hey, man, where the fuck is he? Milwaukee, Minnesota, doing nothing? They would have been like, hey, come courtside, pay for you, put you up, here's some cash, come be noticed, come get interviewed. Come on, come out. Let's go.
He reads the news. Like, he knows what would have happened there. You think, like, there was any price that they could have given him? He's fucking rich. To make him, like, go and do that. Surely. Well, not surely. Okay, not surely.
Yeah. But my point is, though, wasn't from the Knicks' side, wasn't that just, like, disgustingly, like, transparent? Like, hey, we've got a guy here who, you like, you know, hated the Knicks and hated, you know, Jimmy D. And now, look, he gets on with him. He's sitting courtside with him. He's a good dude. See, we don't have any problems with, like, our ex-players. Don't you see that?
Yeah.
Like, it was definitely that. It was like,
100%.
What the fuck? I haven't touched Sprewell in years. Vin Baker played like fucking 40 games for him or something. It was so transparent. It was so obvious what they were doing. And I just think they've got like incompetent people running the show, if not incompetence at the very top.
Yeah, but that's on Spree and Vin Baker. I can understand, like, Vin Baker, like, is a bank teller or some shit now, isn't he? I can understand if, like, he needs the money, but yeah, Spree was still in, like, a pretty good spot. I would have thought Spree had a bit more pride than to, like, just go and be a little lapdog for a couple of games, you know? Like, it's pretty rank.
Okay, but that's another conversation. I think the marketing team have gone like, hey, let's do this. And they went ahead and did it knowing full well. Like, it's insulting to the Knicks fans. You think we don't see through this bullshit? I think it was pretty poor performance from the Knicks in that regard. How can you not see that? How can you not say the Knicks are worse for doing this?
Oh, no.
Like, even worse. It's like another fucking bow in the arrow. Like, oh, another shit thing.
Oh, it's definitely shit. It's definitely shit. It's only shit because those two guys made it shit. You know, if neither of them go, then it's not, they can't, they're empowering the Knicks to do shit stuff by attending.
Possibly. Let me just see who else was on this fucking team of, who else did they trot out? It was fucking, I don't have it in front of me, I'm sorry. But there was a whole bunch of ex-New York guys, you know, and it was like so obvious they were trotting him out just to show that we're actually a friendly organization who honors our former stars. So it's Oakley's fault, not us.
They're all sheep. They're sheep. Fucking
yeah, it's a shit show. You're right. I got one more for you.
Yeah.
I got two actually. Are you feeling good? What's worse, do you think? My prediction about Milwaukee making the playoffs or finishing fourth 2 seasons ago.
Yeah.
I was just like a season or so late, you know, early. That's all. Or was you and Wes has called it the Knicks are going to make the playoffs worse.
I didn't say the Knicks are going to make the fucking playoffs. This is the second time I've told you that.
Really?
I've told you that.
Mm-hmm. Was it Wes who said they were making the playoffs? Someone's got him in their playoff bracket. We got to revisit it.
Probably. I got to bring this up so I can show you like exactly what happened. Well,
I didn't think my Milwaukee pick was that bad 2 seasons ago. Turned out awful, but yeah.
Still waiting for Milwaukee to turn the corner.
Yeah.
So high. And what did they finish that year? Like fucking 12th or something?
I think they didn't make the playoffs. Yeah. No. It was like 10th, they didn't. Maybe. Oh, maybe they were battling till the last day. Maybe 9th. I don't know.
Dreaming.
It must be Wes. He's not here, so let's blame it on him.
Here, I've got it here. My East, I got New York finishing 9th.
9th?
Yeah.
All right. And Wes?
I haven't got Wes's. I can only speak for myself. None of my ones have been that bad at the moment. I'm looking pretty good. Clippers, Portland, not so good.
Well, Dallas. So that was my fake question. My real question is... Are the Cavs fine to win the East still? We kind of touched on this already, though. So,
yeah,
you know, obviously without K-Love for 6 weeks and JR's not coming in anytime soon, do you think they're going to be okay?
Like to finish first or to win the East?
We kind of spoke about it, yeah. Well, to win the East. Let's say to win the East.
I'm going to say yeah, but at least it's... I think it's interesting now. I want to see what Toronto do with, like, Ibaka at center and Carroll playing power forward.
Yeah.
I think that'll be cool. And then it really depends on what Boston do at the deadline. I don't think Washington needs some semblance of a bench if they're going to do any damage.
It feels like it's all cool. Like people, they're hustling, like Toronto and Boston are making noise. But it still feels like that Cleveland are going to be fine. As long as their guys are healthy by the playoffs, you know, and they have a little bit of rhythm, well, I don't think they'll have any trouble.
Yeah, Kyrie's due for an injury, though. He sort of has this habit of getting injured at, like, rogue times.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't be shocked to see him, like, break a thumb or something like that. Broken thumbs are on trend at the moment. Everyone's breaking them. But
last hit. Whose nut shot was worse in terms of cheap shots? Draymond on the Briz last season or Buddy Hield on Cousins earlier this week?
Oh, Draymond. All day, come on. Did you see Buddy Hield's one? It was a gentle, like, and just wrap around the corner, give a little tug. It's fine.
It's a bit sneaky.
I think so.
He got ejected for that. Draymond didn't get ejected.
Draymond, like, was a proper punch in the dick area. Whereas, Buddy Hield's was just a wrap around and he just sort of, like, had a little scoop. Took a little scoop with him.
But when you say, like, when I'm saying cheap shot, don't you think, like, at least LeBron kind of stepped over Draymond and he kind of knew something was coming. So he was sort of like, it's not really a cheap shot. It is a cheap shot, but he's like, I know he's coming at me, where Cousins was like wide open, like not even like fully exposed, setting a screen. And then he's just like, bang, a tug and a tap, you know, and he was like fuming about it after. So he was in shock. I just think the shock level from Cousins would be like pretty painful and scary. You know, those like, shot to the nuts when you're like not expecting it.
Oh,
it's the worst,
dude. Absolutely. And I might be like putting myself out there to get ridiculed here, but how likely do you think you would be to, like, if I was setting a pick and you were running around it at like a decent speed, that you could just like accurately grab my junk and fucking give it a little tug?
It'd be easy. I wanted to do it. Definitely, it'd be easy. I'm coming at pace. My arm's already swinging as I'm running.
You're not looking.
I'm coming around this screen. He knew what he was doing.
But he wasn't looking, though. He wasn't looking.
Pretty intentional, if you ask me.
Not as intentional as Draymond. There.
Fair. Yeah, fair call. So you're saying Draymond?
Draymond all day. Come on, dude. Right. Fucking hell. Look, you're on your Warriors bandwagon.
No,
so
I told you. I've already told you I'm fucking over Draymond's bullshit. I hate it. I don't think there's any place for it. But yeah, no, I agree. I'll agree with that. I think Draymond's was pretty cheap. But I just think LeBron saw it coming and this guy didn't. So it made Cousins didn't, so it made it worse.
Well, both of them had it coming. Like, LeBriz and Cousins both deserve a shot to the dick.
Remember back in the day someone was taking a jump shot and it was like just a blatant like punch to the nuts? Who was that? Like, what was that?
Fuck.
NBA nut shots. Oh. It was terrible.
I can see it in my brain, but I have no idea who it is.
I got a feeling, was Dirk involved in it? No, I just don't know. Look, I'm going to do some research on this and I'll bring it to the next podcast, all right?
Yeah, get back to me.
Worst intentional nut shots in history.
Let's do it.
All right. All right.
I think we're good. You good?
Yeah, I got a roll. Good talking to you. Let's touch base soon.
Yeah.
Peace out.
There.